and welcome to the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast. My name is Bex and I love books, which is very handy this week, particularly because I've got loads of them to tell you about. Four big books, in fact. A veritable library of books, if you will. On the way, I'll be talking to Our Farm in the Dales' Nicola Baker about her brand new farming adventure. We've got Nadia Shireen to tell us about Grimwood, Jenny McLachlan all about Stink, Fairy versus Wizard. But first, it's Jane Marlowe and Lisa Campbell. They're telling us about How the News Works, a brand new non-fiction book all about, well, you guessed it, how the news works, how the news is put together, and how you might get to become a newsreader as well. Who wants to kickstart how the idea for the book came about?
Well, it came about actually during lockdowns, quite a while ago now. So we were working on another big project for ITN. It was the 65th anniversary. And we weren't seeing many colleagues. We were trying to kind of bring everyone together. We thought, what a great way to celebrate success by telling 65 stories across 65 years. And there were such fascinating stories from the history of ITN, from the moon landings to all kinds of, you know, brilliant stories about wildlife. I was talking to some publishers thinking this would make a great book. There's so many fascinating stories there. And we were pitching a few ideas, actually. And I also happened to just start talking about my kids, who were driving me slightly mad during lockdown, as everybody, I'm sure, felt the same. And we all spent a lot of time with our kids during lockdown, didn't we? And, you know, mine, two boys, aged 12 and 14 at the time, you know, in between eating me out of house and home and using my bed as a trampoline, they were giving me lots of interesting facts that they'd read on the internet. And, you know, a lot of the time they weren't true, but they were, you know, it was harmless fun. But then there were quite a few occasions where actually I realized it was quite damaging. You know, there's a lot of misinformation around COVID. They were both quite into protein shakes and they were sort of telling me, you know, how you can get these muscles overnight and whatever. So I realized actually it's so important that children have information that they can trust, and especially when it's on, you know, health issues particularly. So, and I thought, you know, I'm not the only parent in this position. You know, I hear it from other parents that children just believe what they read on the internet. And if their friend has sent a link, well, it's 100% true, isn't it? So found it really difficult to talk to my kids to say, you know, how to find the trusted source of information, why it matters. I mean, of course, no one listens to their mum, but I thought we need to do something about this. If I'm working in a news organisation and I'm finding this difficult, then, you know, so many people must need some, you know, some guidance here. So this is something that I, you know, discussed with a publisher. And I think because it was locked down and there was lots of misinformation around COVID, they were like, yeah, that's the kind of idea that we want to go with. So, so then the idea was born, and Jane on our team took on the writing task and can talk more about the fantastic content in there.
Yeah, so this is How the News Works, and it tells us everything from the beginning of time, like when news kind of started to become a thing, from messengers to now, and the future as well.
Yeah.
So this, you've covered a lot of history in this book, Jane.
We wanted it to be a complete overview that gives children the context of news and the idea that it hasn't begun and ended with social media. You know, we start off the book with a timeline about how news began, and there's this great drawing of a saber-toothed tiger and a caveman standing on a cliff, and the importance that getting the news that the tiger was in town back to the community was, you know, it might have been slower the way they delivered it in those days, but it was equally as important. And that's like probably the first instance of how news is delivered. And it's just, I mean, the emphasis in terms of history is that it's just got faster and faster. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been the imperative. So we started with history, but we didn't want to leave all the sort of the difficult subjects untackled as well. Like Lisa was saying, you know, disinformation, misinformation, what's the difference to that? How do you use examples to bring that to life for the audience, 8 to 12 audience, that they're going to relate to and find interesting, that's going to stick with them? So yeah, we cover a lot of ground.
I did enjoy Charlene pops up every now and again, little cartoon version of her. Yeah. And there are some questions she answers in that, which, or maybe you helped answer as the writer, which I was like, yeah, I didn't know this. Like the difference, for example, between, I guess, a producer and editor, or also a journalist, a reporter and a correspondent, because yeah, in my head they were kind of all the same thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's good to have that described to me as well.
Yes, there are lots of different terminologies that pop up that we just use thinking we know what they mean, and then just to have that written down as an explainer. And also, I think another feature that I think was really, hopefully really useful for the audience is the talking about citizen journalism. Because now, as children start to get on social media, depending on their age, of course, it's very easy for somebody just to film a clip of something happening and put it online for others to see and then share. But
yeah.
without the context around that clip, it can be quite misleading. Although, you know, citizen journalism is very valuable. It's a really, you know, it's an embedded part of our, you know, journalism ecosystem now. But it's good to know we lay out the sort of the pros and cons, what to look for, when to trust it and when to be a little bit more inquisitive about where it's come from.
You also have a quiz at the back of the book of what job you should do.
Yeah, what was yours? Did you do it?
I did do it. Oh, I love a quiz. I was there immediately. And I am obviously presenting the show. I present on Fun Kids. And I got editor.
No.
But you know what? Reading the description, I was like, yeah, that's fair enough. Everything that you described in editor, I was like, yes, I would say that's the same thing. Did you guys do the quiz as well?
Yep.
What did you get, Lisa?
I got editor too.
Did you?
Do you know, I don't think I did do the quiz. But what really intrigued me was the idea of being a director. I think, you know, just getting under the skin of what the director does with all the when the show's going to air, mm-hmm. with all those buttons in front of them, making those selects of all the images. So I don't know what I'm most suited for, but I think that would be the most attractive.
Because there is a really good picture in the book of the gallery, and that's, yeah. I guess, where all the video screens are. And I've seen that on TV before, of like when people pretend to go behind the scenes of TV shows, but I had no idea, again, what happened. It just looked hectic.
Mm.
And it's a great description. You know, you've gone to lengths in the book to make it interesting but also accessible. And I did walk away thinking, I'd quite like to work in a newsroom, actually. I think I could do this. But it's harder work than it looks, I imagine.
I think it's great when we can take people behind the scenes in this way. And a gallery is a really exciting place, actually. There's such a buzz in there because it's live television. Mm. So anything can go wrong at any time. And the anchor is sitting there with their headphones, listening to the directions from the gallery at the same time as they're talking about a report. And it's just such a skill to listen and speak and take in information and ask this question. And it's fascinating. And, you know, I've sat in there when they've lost the link to Washington and they're, you know, all of this scurrying behind the background and they're going to another item. And, you know, my heart was pounding when I was sitting there and they're all taking it in their stride and there's nothing to see here. And, you know, but it's brilliant. And actually, we're also doing a competition on the back of the book, and we're going to ask kids to do a short news report. It's very accessible to everyone. They can, you know, they can draw a picture, they can do a report about their dog, they can do a radio report, and we'll have five winners and we'll invite them into the studios so they can see, you know, they can sit in the gallery and feel that buzz there. They can sit in the presenter's chair and have a go at reading from the auto cue. There's lots of things that we're trying to do to really bring this to life for children.
That was one of the tasks in the book, actually, wasn't it? Where and there's a segment called On Assignment. And in one of them, we wanted the readers to understand just how difficult it is. As you've got your headphones on now, maybe somebody's talking to you. Yeah. But you've got to try and, you know, talk coherently and take instructions. So we suggested maybe that they get a friend to call them up so they're on the phone and they try and talk and read from a book or something like that at the same time.
Yeah.
Just to give them that experience of how tricky it is to keep hold of your words.
And it is just such a lovely book, guys. And we should also say the illustrations are wonderful.
Terry has done a brilliant job, I have to say.
Really brings it to life.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved the book so, so much. Thank you so much for telling us all about it. How the News Works is out right now. Everybody can go and grab a copy wherever it is they get their books from. Lisa and Jane, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Jane and to Lisa. Next up in the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast is Jenny McLachlan. Now, you may know her from her series Land of Roar. Well, she's got a brand new series called Stink, and this is the second book in the adventure, Fairy versus Wizard. Let's find out more, shall we? Lovely to see you in the studio.
I know. Well, I know. I just was quite excited to see what big microphones and dark rooms look like in person.
And we've got plenty of them at Fun Kids, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Actually, I feel like I'm in the sort of the heartbeat of Fun Kids Radio right here.
But anyway, tell me about your brilliant new book. We have got the sequel
to Fairy versus Boy. And a lot of our listeners may know you from the Land of Roar series as well. So this is exciting because people might be like, yeah, my favourite author, she's back with a new series. Well, the second of the series.
Yeah, I mean, if they like the Land of Roar, I really would urge them to give Fairy versus Wizard or Fairy versus Boy a go, because I think, you know, my books, they are full of fun and comedy. That has stayed the same, and magic.
And you've also been recommended by some of my favourite authors, I have to say. Sam Copeland, Jack Meggett Phillips, and Maz Evans.
Oh, how lovely of them. And they're some of my favourite authors too. Aren't they lovely people?
It's handy, isn't it? And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to like this book. So tell us, where do we meet Danny in Fairy versus Wizard from the last book?
Well, he is very happy because he has finally managed to get rid of a fairy who he accidentally released from Fairyland, who sort of ruined his life. And he's finally sent her back to Fairyland. But unfortunately, she comes back and she gets him into a lot of trouble because she also brings some tiny foxes with him who, whenever I describe the plots to my books, I always hope people are keeping up, who get inside his clothes and make him do a very silly dance in front of his entire school. And this dance goes viral and he then has to try and get his social status back, and Stink helps him in a bad way.
Oh my goodness, there's so much going on here. So yeah, Danny gets
unpick it.
Let's think about this. We've got to talk about the dance, because Disco Danny is poor old Danny. He's on the edge of being cool.
I know.
And then the teacher calls him up to basically call him out on how great his uniform is, which isn't ideal for any kid.
No. And I mean, this is basically my books are me channeling all the things I found stressful at school. So I was somebody who would have been called up to demonstrate excellent uniform and would have then been very embarrassed about it. Yep. And I like putting my worst nightmares into my books and then showing children that it's okay. So my worst nightmare would have been dancing, you know, in front of everybody.
I mean, yeah, me too. It still is for me, to be honest. It's not my favourite thing to do.
No.
So in the book, you've got Danny, you've got his little sister, you've got his best friend. They all know about the fairy, but nobody else does.
No, because Stink has told them that if a grown-up sees her, she turns into poisonous gloop. We don't know if this is true, but it keeps her a secret.
And Stink has come back to try and get 100 gold nuggets.
Yeah, she's a very I mean, what I wanted to do, because I know fairies have got quite a specific place in people's minds. They often think sparkly, lovely, kind, gentle, work with flowers and animals. But Stink doesn't do these things. I really wanted to write about a different type of fairy, and Stink is very materialistic. She's only in the human-y world, as she calls it, to earn golden nuggets. So this time she wants a new wand. So she really needs to earn 100 nuggets so she can get a really amazing wand and do tricks. So that's why she's hanging around with Danny. He has got to help her do a good deed.
Yeah, so she's trying to think out of a good deed, and he's trying to, well, kind of manage her, but also stay cool at school because he started secondary school. And he's also got a brand new teacher as well.
Yes, Miss Nicol. Who was named after my cousin.
Oh, really?
Who was Mrs. Nicol. Yeah, I even gave her boyfriend the same name. It's great.
Oh, Scott.
Yeah, wow. Scott's real.
Do they know?
No, Scott doesn't know. No, I haven't told Scott. Sarah knows. She knows that I've put her in her book, but I even used her picture, so she does look, and she is a chemistry teacher.
Oh, wow. And are they both into LARPing in real life?
No.
Oh, okay. Because in the book, we've got a teacher who is great at I forget how to describe LARPing. It's kind of like...
Yeah, it fascinates me. It's a way for grown-ups just to keep playing, isn't it? It's you go into the woods. I think it's generally in the woods. It might not be, but you act out fantasy scenarios, and often there are battles, and people adopt characters and have amazing costumes. I love looking at the costumes online. So this is what Danny's teacher likes to do in her free time.
And she is making a play that will kind of get everybody slightly on her level, I guess, making a play about wizards.
Yeah. Well, I used to be a teacher, and a lot of what I did as a teacher was thinking of ways I could basically do fun stuff I enjoyed doing. Which is exactly what she does as well. So, you know, I might think to myself, oh, I remember one thing I used to love doing was I'd tell the class we were going to design a new chocolate and give it a name and market it. And this culminated in the children all bringing in chocolates they'd made, and I would eat them.
That's smart. Please tell me, what lesson were you teaching here? What was
English.
The... Oh, English?
Yeah, it was the marketing. They'd make an advert, they'd do an advert, they'd sell the chocolate, they'd think of great adjectives to describe chocolate. It was all legitimate. It was all could all be explained away.
All those parents were like, why? Why
yeah,
is she
I know.
Letting you take chocolate? Okay,
again?
Fine. Yeah, it's the third week in a row. We can't keep giving you dairy milk. Now, so tell me, the wizard in the story, of course, is the baddie. Tell me about this villain.
Rufus Snowbeard, the wizard. I find wizards funny. I don't know, is it just me? And what happens is Stink, one of the fun things about writing these books is there is a fairy door attached to Danny's bedroom wall. Mm-hmm. And Stink can go inside in through this fairy door and then bring anything she likes out because she's the ability to shrink things and then make them grow bigger. So I can think, what would I love to come into Danny's life to make fun situations? And Stink can go and get it, basically. Mm-hmm. So in the previous book, I think she got a troll. And in this book, she gets a wizard. And she used to be best friends with this wizard. They went to school together. And he was lovely and very kind and sweet. But what Stink doesn't know is since she last saw him when they were both about 6 years old in fairy years, he's become an evil wizard. So she brings him back into Danny's life and accidentally releases an evil wizard in the real world, who then gets a job at Danny's school.
Well, hopefully we'll see you again for the third book.
Yes.
Jenny, thank you so much for telling us all about Fairy versus Wizard. I imagine we can get it in all bookshops and libraries and
absolutely
everywhere online.
Yeah, everywhere.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for telling
thank us. Thank you very much for having me.
So from one Stink to another, next up we're going to talk to Nadia Shireen. Her brand new book, Grimwood, Attack of the Stink Monster, is the third book in the Grimwood series, and I have made it my book of the month for February. I absolutely love this series so much. It's so funny, and it's really amusing, and I do love the characters that she's created. Not to say, by the way, that the rest of the books this month aren't also equally awesome. It was a very tough pick this month. Anyway, let's go and find out what Nadia has to say about Grimwood.
I am so happy to have you, because I'm such a big fan of you, and I don't think I've interviewed you before for Fun Kids.
No, I haven't. I'm very excited. My first time on Fun Kids, as far as I know.
Yes, well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We finally snagged you. And you're here to tell us all about the, I believe, the third book in the Grimwood series coming out in paperback. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. So it's the third Grimwood book, as you said, and it's called Attack of the Stink Monster, which I thought sounded kind of dramatic.
It really does. I love the Grimwood series. I have to say, I'm a big fan of Ted and Nancy. But if our listeners haven't managed to catch the books previously, where do we find our characters? And also, what are our characters?
Well, yeah, that's a key question. So our character, the main character, so Ted and Nancy, who you mentioned, if you go to Grimwood book one, which is just called Grimwood, it's the one with the yellow cover. So that's where we first meet Ted and Nancy, and they are foxes. But they are foxes who are, they are urban foxes. So you know how we have, you know, you see foxes wandering around the streets and maybe under your shed or rifling around in bins because as we humans have kind of built more roads and houses, we've kind of slightly moved into the areas where foxes would normally. Also, we have loads of leftover food. So foxes have now learnt to live in our human cities, right? So Grimwood starts with Ted and Nancy, who live in a big city. It could be London or Manchester or Birmingham or New York. I don't really name the city. And then for complicated reasons involving Ted eating what he thinks is a hot dog, they have to run away. So someone says, go to the countryside. You'll be safe in the countryside because some baddies want to get them. And the thing is, when I was a kid, I grew up kind of near the countryside, and foxes are also woodland creatures. So you'd think that these foxes would know what they're doing, but they're urban foxes. They're used to living in a city. So when they get to Grimwood, which is the countryside, they're like, hang on, where are the fried chicken shops? Like, where do we charge our mobile phones? They're really confused by the countryside. And they think Ted, who's the little brother, he's really excited. Nancy's the big sister. She's quite tough. And she thinks Grimwood's full of crazy animals. And she'd be right.
She's right. Yeah, absolutely.
She's right. Ted's really excited to meet the locals. And they think, oh, countryside animals, they'll be really gentle and fluffy. They'll be like, don't know if you're familiar with The Wind in the Willows or Winnie the Pooh or those books. Mm-hmm. And those books, they always describe the countryside and countryside animals as, you know, they're very lovely and cozy and all the rest of it. Grimwood is not like that. All the animals in Grimwood are a little bit bananas, it's safe to say. So we follow Ted and Nancy through their journey to Grimwood and meeting all the interesting characters who live in Grimwood.
Now, you mentioned you've got lots of different characters. I quite like, is it Eric Dynamite, the little kind of guy who kind of slightly just adds in his own comments every now and again? But who's your favourite to maybe read or write about?
Honestly, it's impossible for me to pick a favourite because they all have different personalities, and I really enjoy I mean, so Eric Dynamite, who you mentioned, he's actually a woodlouse and he narrates the books. And the reason I put him in is because Grimwood is quite weird. Like, there are lots of jokes, there are lots of drawings. It's also like sometimes it just makes no sense. I just start writing like really out there stuff. And I thought, every now and then, like, readers might get confused. So Eric Dynamite pops in to go, hey, readers, this is strange, isn't it? How are you doing? So I like writing him. Ted's best friend is a bunny called Willow, like a hyperactive bunny called Willow. And she's really cute, but if anyone calls her cute, she gets angry and karate chops them. So I like writing her. I love writing a character called Sharon the Party Crow, who loads of mums and dads seem to be really into Sharon the Party Crow as well. She is like, as the name suggests, she's obsessed with partying and that's all she does. And she's got a catchphrase, which is awooga, awooga. And she DJs and like, she's just always partying. It's quite exhausting. So she's fun to write.
I mean, quite aspirational though. Always partying, yeah. Always on the go. Love
always.
It.
Always. She never stops.
Big fan. I've got to say as well, like, you really succeed in making the books funny. I think it's really hard to make a genuinely laugh out loud funny book. Was that something you were dead set on when you wrote it? Were you like, this is going to be a funny, funny series?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just, luckily, that's kind of like, I naturally enjoy making stuff that makes me laugh. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's just what I'm suited to. I think other books, you know, I'll read other books that are just so emotional and about really heavy subjects. And I'm full of admiration. And I think they're fantastic books. I just don't think, I haven't really got it in me to write that kind of book. This is just like naturally how I write. I think sometimes, especially with young readers, people don't realize how funny we all are, regardless of your age. So sometimes you'll watch a TV show or read something that's designed for children and it just really talks down and it's not funny. And I think if something doesn't make me laugh, why should it make anyone else laugh? It doesn't matter how old they are, whether they're 6 or 60, like the same things make us all laugh. So I know, I mean, that's really great to hear that you think they're funny.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely are. Now, just in case people are thinking, oh my goodness, what happens in this book? We've got, as you say in the title, a big stinky monster.
Yep, there's a big stink monster who has taken over Grimwood and is causing chaos. And Willow, Ted and Nancy and the rest of the gang, they take it upon themselves to become, well, especially Willow. She wants to become a monster hunter.
Don't we all?
Yeah, and track down this monster and see what it wants with them. With Grimwood.
Now, I'm not going to give too much away, but can we just will we expect more from the gang? Do you have more up your sleeve?
100%. Yeah, we've definitely got more Grimwood books coming. There are just too many funny characters and too many scenarios to get them into. So, yep, I'm just finishing working on Grimwood 4, so that will be out soon. And need to start thinking up ideas for Grimwood 5, I guess.
Now, before I let you go, Nadia, we do a little quick fire round of questions with every author who comes to Fun Kids. Is that okay to do it with you now?
Amazing. I'm excited. Yep.
All right. No pressure. There's no right or wrong answers apart from the last question, so don't stress. Okay. First up, books or Kindles?
Books.
Everybody says it. Heroes or villains?
Villains.
Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, TV.
Ted or Nancy?
I refuse to answer.
Yeah, that's fair. I just thought I'd test you. I don't ask everybody that question. That was just for you.
That would be weird.
That would be weird, wouldn't it? Beginnings or endings?
Beginnings.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Narnia?
Okay. A questionable Narnia, but we'll take it. A laptop or write by hand? A
laptop, but then I draw by hand. So can I have both?
You can, you can. You know what? I wondered what you'd say because I know obviously you illustrate as well as, as well as write. Do you work and write 9 to 5 or do you do it whenever you fancy?
I do it all the time. Just 24 hours a day. I never sleep.
Do you prefer illustrating or writing?
I get bored of one and I think, oh, I hate writing so much. And then I do some illustrating and then I go, oh, illustrating is so awful. I wish I could write again. And I just flip flop between the two.
I love it. You have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and the worst.
Yeah, well, sure. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
I'm going to say Winnie the Pooh, but that's only because I don't like marmalade.
You know what? Somebody did say recently that question boils down to marmalade or honey.
It does, basically. I like honey, so I'll say Winnie the Pooh, but no offence, Paddington. Like, I love you too.
Okay, I'll let him know when he gets in touch. And finally, the last one. This is the big one. Salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Oh, salt and vinegar. That's really easy. Yeah,
correct.
I don't eat cheese or cheese-flavoured items.
So it was always going to be salt and vinegar?
Always. I mean, that's a really easy one, yeah.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I mean, That's my answer, and that is the correct answer, in my opinion.
Cheese and onion?
Don't get me started, Nadia, because those people, I'm very close to terminating the interview when somebody says cheese and onion is the answer.
Correct. Yeah, I think you should just slam. It. Yeah, just go, okay, interview's over.
Yeah, laptop over, closed.
Yeah.
Honestly, you'd be surprised. But you got the correct answer, so I can actually tell everybody that Grimwood Attack of the Stink Monster is going to be out. Well, it's out already, but it's out in paperback very soon. Yeah. And there's more on the way. Nadia, thank you so much for telling us all about it.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Big thank you to Nadia. Now, finally, we've got a chat with Nicola Baker. You might know her from the TV show Our Farm in the Dales. She's got a brand new series out, and this is the first book in it. It's called A Whistledown Farm Adventure, Finding Hope. And it's all about a lovely girl who goes off into the countryside and finds a brand new baby lamb. Where in the world do we find you right now? Are you near a farm?
Yes, I'm currently on our, we have a small holding that we have with sort of sheep and chickens. So that's where I am at the moment. And then we have a family sheep farm up in the Durham Hills.
Ah, I know Durham very well. I went to university in Durham and I'm actually in the northeast as we speak. So
wow, it's a lovely part of the world, lovely part of the world.
It absolutely is. Now, the thing is, I live in the countryside, but I'm not very good at farming and knowing about animals. And my friends all are. So actually reading your book, it felt like I was learning myself, actually.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully if you can take something away from it, then that's great, isn't it?
The book is Finding Hope, A Whistledown Farm Adventure. And in it, we've got Ava, who is a bit of a city kid, but moves to the countryside.
Yes, that's right. Her parents go abroad for work and she goes to stay with her Aunt Kitty, Uncle John and Cousin Tom at Whistledown Farm. And it's a very busy time of year because it's Easter holiday, so everybody's lambing. So Ava's got to get stuck in, even though she's not used to animals and the countryside.
Yeah, if there's one thing I know about my friends up here is that lambing is an important time of the year. It's all hands on deck, right?
Yes, definitely. It's all hands on deck at lambing time. It's a really lovely time of year, but a really busy one.
Absolutely. And Cousin Tom is not happy about Ava's arrival.
No, things don't go smoothly with Tom when Ava first arrives. So yes, Ava has to sort of navigate Tom's feelings about her there as well. So it's not all straightforward. Ava's a bit like a duck out of water with her Cousin Tom and on the farm. She's got to learn a lot of things and fit in somehow.
Yeah, because I don't want to give too much away, but there was two incidents where she does kind of reveal just how green she is to that world, so to speak.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, I think that's what life's about, isn't it? Sort of you put yourself in different situations and you have to sort of learn how to cope with those situations. And so that's something that Ava definitely has to do on the farm, is learn how to fit in and to farm.
And of course, the title Finding Hope, of course, is about finding hope, kind of like generally, but also about a lovely little lamb that Ava adopts as well.
Yes, Ava's out checking the fields and she finds a little lamb on its own and Ava just wants to help it. So she picks it up and takes it back to the farmhouse. And a lot of Finding Hope, the story is about their relationship between Ava and the lamb.
The best of both worlds then, basically. Did you kind of learn any new facts about farming when you were doing this? Because obviously you probably know quite a lot about the countryside already, but did you do some research and think, oh, I didn't know this thing or I didn't know about that animal?
Do you know what? I actually knew quite a lot for this one. So there's four books in the series. So Finding Hope is the first one and that one's set in spring. So that one, you know, all about lambing and time of spring. I knew quite a lot about sort of that time of year and the lambing situation. But the next book is out in autumn in September. And that's a lot more sort of like there's pumpkins and sort of village shows and things like that in it. So I did a lot more research for that and I learned a lot from book two.
Oh, I love this. I was going to ask actually I assumed from the title A Whistledown Farm Adventure there would be a series. So I guess for one for each season.
Yes, there'll be one for each season. So there's spring and autumn this year, and then next year there'll be summer and winter. So that's a lot of fun writing about the seasons, because that's one thing I love is the seasons. And when they change and they turn, I just think the seasons are brilliant. And to be able to base four books within those seasons is great.
And you must really love the characters as well. If you want to write four books worth about them, you must love Ava and Tom and the family.
Yes, I do. I think that's the thing when you start writing and you get to know your characters and they almost become like real people in your head almost. So, you know, I could probably write, you know, 20, 30 books about Ava, Tom, Aunt Kitty and Uncle John. You know, there's just so much there and I do really like the characters a lot.
I have to say, your Uncle John character reminded me of my actual friend's dad called John, who is a farmer. I was like, is this John from down the road? It was so funny. I was like, I think I've met this farmer.
There's nobody real in it, so
I don't know. I'll double check with him. But yeah, John the Farmer with the blue overalls. I was like, that is exactly. I've just seen him walking down the lane. How funny! It looked so similar. Yeah. So Ava is just such a lovely character, and you know, is learning as she goes. And it's nice as a reader, because I was, like I said, I was learning stuff as well. Were you quite aware that some people might not know as much as you might do about the countryside and about farming?
Yeah, and that's what I hope, is that, you know, children will read this book. Some of them will be from rural areas where they'll know about this sort of stuff. And then others, you know, they won't have that exposure and experience of animals and farming and the countryside. So hopefully, sort of, you know, they'll all get something from the book. And if they can learn something, then that's brilliant.
I have to ask Nicola, now you might say no to this because you're a professional. I just wondered, have you ever had any farming catastrophes? Has anything ever kind of like gone a bit wrong for you, or has it all been plain sailing?
I think it's never plain sailing out on the farm. There's always something. There's lots of slipping in mud. You know, it gets very muddy in the winter and your wellies get stuck in the mud, and then you sort of keep walking forward and you've lost your welly. It's a couple of feet behind you stuck in the mud, so you get a very muddy sock. So that happens a lot on the farm.
Yeah, you need some sturdy wellies, don't you?
We do, yes.
Now, before I let you go, we have something called our quickfire round of questions for our authors. So I'll do that with you now. And the first one is super easy. Books or Kindles?
Oh, books. Unless I go on holiday, then a Kindle's great because you can take loads of books in one go.
That is the best answer, yeah. Heroes or villains?
Oh, my initial reaction was heroes, but I do like a good villain. Oh, gosh. Actually, I'm going to go villain.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, gosh, that's impossible to choose from. Can I not have both? I like all of it. Anything that's adapted is just brilliant. And I love to see what they do with it. So, yeah, I'm going to say both. I'm going to have both.
All right, we'll give you a Netflix deal and a Warner Brothers deal and you can, brilliant. You know. chickens or sheep?
I am going to say chickens, because I like to talk to my chickens and they do talk back. So I'm going to choose chickens purely for that reason.
For the communication, that's fair enough. Beginnings or endings?
Beginnings, they're always so exciting.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Hogwarts.
Do you use a laptop or do you write by hand?
Oh, both. All my notes are in hand. So everything, I love a fountain pen and I love stationery and everything. So I always have, whenever I write a new book, I always have a new ink that I put in my fountain pen. So all my notes are handwritten, and then I will write the actual book on a laptop.
Oh, I love a fountain pen. I love the feel of a fountain pen. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear.
Finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Oh, definitely salt and vinegar. That's the easiest question you've asked me. No way. No cheese and onion. Definitely salt and vinegar.
That's the only one I care about, Nicola. That's the only answer. You could say anything for anything else. That's the only one that I'm bothered about.
That's the only one I'm really certain on.
Yeah, great. I mean, that makes it even more easy for me to say congratulations. You got the answer right. It's my favourite crisps. It's just the ultimate test, to be honest. That was wicked. Well, thank you so much for telling us all about Finding Hope, and looking forward to the next three books in the series as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for today.
There we go. Four brilliant books for you. How the News Works, Stink Fairy versus Wizard, Grimwood Attack of the Stink Monster, and A Whistledown Farm Adventure. Lots of books and something for everyone, I would say. Remember, if you've enjoyed this podcast, like, subscribe, follow, tell all of your friends about it, and of course, comment wherever it is you're listening to about what you're reading right now. We love to know. In the meantime, have an amazing week. See you soon. Bye.